reason being, for the past how many weeks, I wanted to finish some thoughts on the lesson of using our memory in a moral, that in a correct way, and to learn that God expects us to use our memory morally, constructively, and that our memory was given for that as part of its purposes. It's for that. If you have question relating to the lesson, write it down so that next week or some other time I can address it. But I want to finish some thoughts on this lesson, and especially one section in the lesson. I am tempted to promise that probably there will be a repeat of part of this lesson on a Sunday morning. Because we have bring into Christianity a lot of sentimentality, and it can do harm to our eternal salvation, of course, not thinking of the offensive to the Almighty God. Using our memory morally. When the Almighty God in the book of Deuteronomy 8 asks the children of Israel to remember the path that they travel to reach the point where they were at that time, the Almighty God expects the Israelites to remember not only the pleasantries of traveling through the wilderness, but the unpleasant experiences of their journey. Remembering the unpleasant things that they confronted, the Almighty God knew that it would ready and prepare them for the future. And they needed that. They had not yet reached the promised land. They were on their way. And the Almighty God wanted them to be ready. The promised land itself, Transjordan, crossing over Jordan to what was promised to them as the promised land. The promised land itself had its challenges. Saul David can tell you of some of the challenges that confronted them in the promised land. So they needed to look back. And remember, a memory of the past serves to show them that man and in this case the Israelite, has a nobler life than that of the body, just satisfying the body. God wanted the Israelite to understand. And man's well-being is not dependent solely on material things. God wanted Israel to know it also dependent on the Almighty God. And you listening to what he says and doing it, not just eating and feeding on material things. For even bread itself, material things, is a product of God's command. Meaning, it is God's law that makes rain fall, that produces the things that we eat. So even, you know, when God says, man shall not live by bread alone, and wanted the Israelite to learn that. Well, even the bread that you depend on so much, that comes because of God. The very process, I said, the very process of mastication, the process whereby food, in fact, not just mastication, digestion, and assimilation, we eat, the digestive system take it and fix it up, and then the different cell in the body takes what it wants for the bone, for the eye, and all of that, all of those processes in the body is dependent on God, the way he makes us. So the Almighty God wanted the Israelite to understand that it's not just mere eating that preserve your life. They are rather input by the Almighty God. Comes by the divine command and the divine input. Memory will incite gratitude. That's very important. And the Almighty God asked them to remember, look back. If they can look back on any pleasantries, or if they can look back and challenge that they face and thought that their judgment had come and God led them successfully through it, those memories excite gratitude. It also aid the operation of conscience. Which was an incentive obedience. As they remember what they went through and remember what God did for them, that make them become more sensitive to the goodness of God and make them feel a sense of gratitude to the Almighty God and make them want to obey him. our present. Not just for the Israelite, but yours and mine. It is built on the past. Therefore, memory of the past has much to do with the joy and the sorrow of the present, as well as with the hopes and the achievement of the future. That is memory of the past. A disciplined memory tends to deepen the humility, deepen the humility of the Christians, as well as to increase our godly sorrow for our sin and our mistake and failure. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12.
Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise.
You see, here the inspired writer Paul is encouraging the Christian to remember their past when they weren't Christian. By looking on what they were, be 10, 20, 15, or 2-5 years ago, when they were not Christian, they were in darkness. They didn't know God. They were heading for eternal destruction. When they look back on that past, they can at the present say, thank God I get to know Christ and feel good about it. And the same applies to us. We walk in the light. We know Jesus Christ. Whatever may happen to you and me, now as we go through life, that hope we have in Jesus Christ helps to lighten the burden of the present. It does. And that's why Paul asks them to look back. By looking back on their past before they knew Christ, it tends to inspire them with gratitude and stronger love for Jesus Christ, who has placed us in heavenly places. The woman that Christ told of in the gospel, she loved much when she remembered how much was forgiven her. So memory serves an important place. The tendency are the, for some, it's just laziness. We can't afford to be thinking of this and to remember that. No, if it has to do with God and His will and His word and His revelation, every day try to remember as much as you can, because it carries benefit. Benefit that serve us now, serve the church, and serve us hereafter. For a relatively sane or conscientious man or woman to remember helps that person to avoid, I said, a relatively sane man or woman. A man or woman who is conscientious. For that person to remember helps that man or woman to avoid moral, physical, economical, social, and spiritual mistake. That is, a person who is conscientious to remember helps. Have you ever thought that what gave, when David was challenged, not just David, the entire Israelite nation, and Saul and his soldier froze before Goliath, a little inexperienced youth from nowhere came to the forefront. And you know what saved the day in every sense of that word? It is striking that David remember how God saved him from the tiger and the lion when he attended to his daddy sheep, you know. And both of those animals came to take away the sheep and kill them and eat them, the two animals. In fact, run to it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 32 through 36. Read aloud for me. Yes. 17 from verse 32.
It says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him."
Wait. Remember, their heart had already failed. That's right. The entire Israelite nation and the leader, Saul, were trembling like breeze hitting leaf because Goliath was an extraordinary, tall, big, and strong man. There was nobody in the Israelite camp to match Goliath's size and strength. What's going to save the day is memory. Memory. Read on, brother.
"Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine."
This is really a great lesson that we all know, but we should never forget some of its implication and lesson. Let no man heart fail him. Now, who attack a little 16 to 18 year old youth? No fighting or war experience whatsoever. And he's telling the experienced King Saul, etc., and these men who soldiering, fighting, battling is their life. But they were trembling like leaf. Many of them forget that there was a God of Israel. Read on, brother.
"And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him."
And probably if I were in Saul's place, I would say to that new convert and speaking from the human perspective, would be correct. John, you need a lot of experience to go and debate with that person. Oh, how God can use us when we trust in him. So Saul was telling David, you are not able to.
For thou art but a youth.
You are but a youth. All that, those are facts, you know. The problem here, of course, is that Saul, God's leader, chosen, so to speak, by God. Well, Saul should have been the one who trusted in God and led Israel with that trust. When we, the leader, fail in those areas where we should give encouragement, then it is sad. But that's what happened here. So here, Saul, I sympathize with him. He's further discouraging the youth, David. Read.
What are you?
You're a youth. He's a man. All these are facts, you know. Saul is not just making these up. These are facts. Goliath is a man of war.
His youth.
You see, from Goliath was a little boy, he was tall and oversized. That's right. For fighting the Philistine battle because of his strength and height and what. Read on, brother.
Said unto Saul, thy servant kept father's sheep.
That's memory. That's memory.
And there
but
came.
Wait, brother. Had David forgotten what God did for him? Few months down or a few years pass. There's no telling the catastrophe, not just for Israel, but for man's salvation. Had David forgotten, but memory. What he said there, brother? That, notice the past tense, kept it. So he's relating something of the past that he now remembers.
Thy servant kept his father's sheep,
mm-hmm.
and there came a lion
mm-hmm.
and a bear
mm-hmm.
and took a lamb out of the flock.
Uh-huh.
And I went out after him and smote him.
David was really foolish. It's not foolish. He was brave and he trusted in God. That makes all the difference. Even from his youth, that makes the difference even in today's world. Even life in the church now, belief in God does make the difference. I mean genuine faith, not just mouth faith. Genuine, deep belief in God makes the difference. David genuinely believed that with God's help, he could confront whatever the challenge was and succeeded. We need to remember this. Read on, brother.
And I went out after him
mm-hmm.
and smote him
mm-hmm.
and delivered it out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
No. May God help me to meet some of these people in eternity. Truly, you are dealing with a little boy. And he's relating the detail, giving Saul step-by-step detail. But you see, God was with the man. Well, God was with the boy. But again, remember, it's David, remember. Notice this too. David could have pat himself on the shoulder and say, you see how strong I was, Saul? All the glory of his victory was given to God.
Yeah.
That is important. That was important, and it is important for us to remember to glorify God and give him the honor. Read on, brother.
Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them.
You see, the victory that God gave David with these two animals provide the incentive, the faith, the confidence, the braveness to undertake this challenge of Goliath without any hesitation. Notice too that he could speak confidently of what he's going to do to Goliath. He could tell off Goliath what and what he's going to do to him. This is bravery, and it is confidence in God.
Amen.
But I come back to the point. It's memory. Memory. The Almighty God has done so many things in your life, in my life. And we forget them. Doesn't mean we don't forget some, or we don't remember some. But sometimes some of the important things God has done in our life, we forget them. And the forgetting work against us. So I'm begging you, learn to remember things that God has brought you through.
Amen. Yeah.
Please. Because they work as incentive. We're going to stop here. The very important aspect of the lesson, I'm not going to touch it, very important. In fact, this is the part that I said I would want to share in a Sunday morning, but most likely it will be shared. It will deal with memory properly used can help us to take steps to protect one, the gospel, to protect the church, and to protect self. Memory, properly used. That this aspect of the lesson, I have not touched on it yet as far as this. This is the second part of the lesson that I have dealt with tonight, showing the moral use of memory. But what I have just mentioned, there will be some 6 points that we'll be going through to show how memory properly used, being used morally in a right way, can help us to take steps to protect the gospel, protect the church, and protect self. Very important aspect. In fact, one of the things going to come up is the one-sided view that we must avoid giving people a one-sided concept of Christianity. The Bible presents Christianity in a balanced way. I'm sure you don't probably understand what direction I'm going. Let me just, as I've said, there are some 6 points to share with you. But point one, untrustworthiness was wisely remembered have, this is popular in Christianity, forgive and forget. When we look on this series, still continuing and remembering, we are going to see that, yes, some things it's wise to forget. Some things it's unwise to forget. That's right. The Bible going to show that some things, even wrong done to you or me, don't remember that wrong for revenge or vindictiveness. No, that no is wrong. But if you remember to protect yourself, Christianity is all for that. We hope another Sunday night or a Sunday morning, most likely a Sunday night, to complete the series. There are some 6 points that memory properly used can help us to take steps to protect the gospel, protect the church, and protect ourselves by remembering. Very important aspect of the lesson. Thank you.